This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
By the way, I found out moments ago, Santiago, very handy.
He could fix a toilet all day yesterday. He's like fixing a toilet by himself.
It honestly wasn't that hard. It's one of those situations where, you know, where you get really insistent. There's no way in hell I'm calling a plumber and having somebody come in here and I have to pay him money to fix this. I'm doing this myself.
I don't know. I would have been on the phone with the plumber. I see water. Hello?
There are no Sherry Rothenbergs in my household.
They would have called the Coast Guard.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Sherry, there's water. The toilet has water on the outside. We need some help here.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Time now for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. DHIF and observations, all of it coming your way at 6:45 this morning. That's an RJ Santillo vehicle now, right? You've given that up?
Yeah, I mean, there's only two of us in the show.
Right.
I like hearing him on the air. You think he's good? He's funny.
I think he's very talented.
I think he's great. The more we get RJ and Santi on the air, on the microphones, the better.
I don't know. RJ, yes. The way Raymond acted Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, but you need a villain.
Yeah, but I don't want Ray's such a good guy. I don't want him to be the villain.
I think he embraces it. I mean, he hung up on Omar. That was like, whoa.
That was jarring, yes.
Jarring. And then he doubles down and says he's going to punch poor nephew Lonnie right in the face.
Right in the face.
Right in the face.
And then says, you know what? If it's not Lonnie, Dave, maybe it'd be you. I'd be happy to punch you in the face. Like, where does all this anger come from with
him? And then we find out how sensitive he is.
Very sensitive.
So now we got to watch ourselves.
And now we find out he can fix toilets.
Then karma caught up with him.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
I worry for
you
Ray.
You want to act like a jerk.
I worry
come
for
home,
Ray.
Your toilet's broken. And by the way, let me clarify something.
Yeah.
I'm happy that the plumber showed up in an S500. Good for him. My point was, I better get my head on right and start learning to fix toilets because I don't want to be spending money when the toilet gets clogged up.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and maybe this is where you're different from me. I would never believe I did it properly. Even if I quote, fixed it. I can't fix it at the level a plumber can fix it at. And the last thing I want to do is do patchwork when it comes to the toilet.
Yeah, water is tough, too. I mean, water in the house, it ruins everything. No, here's the thing, though. I'm not saying, like, you know, if I got water squirting out of the toilet, I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm not calling the plumber. I'm going to figure this thing out. I flush wipes, and sometimes I flush too many wipes. And I was in a spot where, you know, things clogged up.
You don't flush wipes.
I know.
For you to take shots at the plumbing community is just... Whew.
I'm not taking shots. I'm happy. One of my best friends from Winthrop is a tremendous plumber. Makes a ton of money. Does awesome. I give him tons of credit. But in the moment, I'm like, I gotta figure out how to do this and fix it myself because it's going to cost me a ton of money. Like when the plumber shows up in an S500, you're like, this is going to be really expensive.
Yeah. But then you have peace of mind. If he does it, you're like, all right, I don't have to worry about this. If you do it, all of a sudden now that never goes away. You think the toilet can leak and it could be from your mess up with the toilet.
See, I do have anxiety about that.
Yeah.
This is why I have to like check the stove like 600 times. I never feel like when I do it, it's going to be
done properly. Well, of course it's not. And it's no fault of your own.
The other refrigerator in the garage is closed.
You're not going to be able to fix the appliances as well as someone who is trained in that.
See, I wish, here's the thing, though. I wish that when I was in high school, I learned things like that. Rather than, like, some of the classes that I had to take, that I use none of it.
Right,
today,
like Latin.
I use none of it.
Right.
Like Latin. None
you know
of
what?
It.
You know what they should have, you're right. They should have taught us how to, like, balance.
Learn to do things.
Balance the checkbook. You know what? Like, home economics is something they should bring back.
Yeah, like, how about shop class? Like, it'd be nice to know how to change my own oil.
Yeah, I can't
stuff
do that.
Like that.
Change a brake pad? I can't
spark
do that.
Plug something, anything.
Yeah, no, I can't do anything.
And then I talked to Cassie's grandfather, who's like a real man.
Well, because he's a man, and we're not men.
You don't change your own oil? I'm like, no, I don't change my own oil. He's like, ugh. He's disgusted with me.
I don't blame him. But you know what? If you and I'm not exaggerating. This is pathetic, and I will share with you, and I probably shouldn't. If you offered me $1 million to change my own oil, I wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah, but if they offered you $1 million, I'm sure you'd try to figure out how to do it.
I'd try, but I would. I mean, listen, there's a dipstick
you'd make
in there.
It worse.
I know. I you know, I don't know what to do.
I'm so jealous of people like that. Maybe that's it. I'm actually jealous. I was jealous of the plumber, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
That he's, because that he's a real man.
Yeah, you know, he's a real man. Like any of that stuff. Like my uncle, for example, like he loves Corvettes. So what he'll do is he'll go buy a Corvette and he'll completely strip it apart and then put it back together, fix everything, and then like this dude's cleaning the car with Q-tips, like the air vents with Q-tips. The thing is gorgeous when he's done with it.
These
I would
are real
not have
men.
One
these
idea.
These are real men. We're not real men. Let's bring on a real
is there
man.
Is there man camp we can go to or something?
We should.
I would go.
We should set that up. We should hold a man camp where you have like, you know, someone that teaches you about toilets, someone that teaches you about cars. A man camp.
We need a man camp.
You're right. We really
do. I want to fix my toilet. I want all of it. Car, toilet.
Right? Fridge.
Smoke meat. I want to know how to smoke meat.
Yes. I love the idea. We could franchise these things around the country.
Santi, get on that.
Teach men. How about this? Here's our tagline. Man camp. We teach men how to be men.
I'm not even joking. I like it.
It's a great idea.
I smell franchise opportunity.
Because I can't do anything. Cook. Can't cook at all. Now, you can do that.
That's my best attribute. Yeah, cooking.
You should have seen me the other day. And we'll get to the calls in a second. But I made Alex meatballs. Like a piece of raisin bread, applesauce, Jell-O. And I bring it over to him. Well, he likes it. And I bring it over to him. I'm like, look at this. Look what Dad is able to do. He goes, Dad, you heated up meatballs.
Yeah, you didn't even make the meatballs. You just heated them. I'm sure you bought the meatballs, right?
Well, they're frozen meatballs, yeah.
Yeah, but who wants meatballs and raisin toast?
Well, that's what he likes. I can't judge what he likes. He's
what did
an 11-year-old
you say?
Boy.
Meatballs, raisin toast, and apples?
Applesauce.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a death.
That sounds awful.
Well, that's what he's 11 years old. He enjoys that.
Well, that's because all he has.
I'm basically giving myself a parade. I'm like, Alex, how good is Dad with this? He's like, Dad, you heated up meatballs and you took the cover off the applesauce.
Oh, my God. Poor kid. Poor kid's been beat down to the point where that's what he enjoys.
But that's what he enjoys. That's not me. He has a bizarre palate. He eats a cheese sandwich for lunch every day.
Oh, cheese sandwich is delicious.
Look at you.
I love a cheese and mustard sandwich.
But if I went to man camp, boom, I could make them like a pasta primavera. There's things I could make them now. Make a great mac and cheese, by the way. Darren in Port Washington. Darren, I do. I know you put the milk in, the powdered cheese, all of it. I do it very well. Darren, Port Washington. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Buzz. What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm a carpenter, so I get what you guys are saying, and it's pretty funny because, just give you guys a heads up, the best thing to do, YouTube got everything these days. They show you how to do everything. I can actually fix
Darren, you're close to me.
Switches and everything.
Darren, you're close to me. You're in Port Washington. Can we pencil you in as maybe a guest speaker at Man Camp?
Yes, we can. And I'll show you how to type in on search on YouTube, and then I'll sit and press start. And then they'll show you everything you need to do. That's how I learned. It's the easiest way to go.
No, I don't want that. I don't. We can have any Shimo teach us how to type in on YouTube. We want you
anytime,
to teach us,
anytime,
Darren.
Anytime.
We want you to teach us the basics about carpentry at Man Camp. Would you do that?
Not a problem.
Okay.
And I'll wear my Islander jersey too.
Yes. God. Now there we're talking, go. Darren.
But don't worry, I'm a sad Jets fan too. But I'm not even a Mets fan. But I had to ask Dave something, and you. Doesn't the Mets having Sammy around all the time have that feeling of like of the Knicks always having Steve Mills around? It's like, does this guy have something on this dude that he always has to be around and he clearly doesn't work?
Well, I think they like him, and I think they think he gives kind of a modicum of respect and like legitimacy to the organization. But you want to keep him around as a figurehead, that's fine. But I've had enough of Sandy Alderson in decision making.
Yeah, making
process.
Baseball decisions. He wasn't supposed to make baseball decisions.
Well, because you had two GMs that got hammered here.
Well, I mean, they were looking to hire a president. They couldn't do that. No one wanted the job. Well, they couldn't get the interview. And then, I mean, your GM, that whole nightmare. I mean, he can handle the business stuff. But, I mean, this is what happens. I'm telling you. I've seen it. The owner finds – Sandy is Steve Cohen's guy. When Steve Cohen was a minority owner, he created a relationship with Sandy.
Which is fine.
Baseball guy. And it helps, you're right. As far as him buying the team, because I think there was some trepidation from the other owners that Steve Cohen would come in, start spending crazy and everything else. And the fact that I think he had Sandy Alderson with him kind of put the other owners at ease to vote him in, you know?
Yeah, of course. And I don't have an issue with Sandy per se, but I just don't want him making baseball decisions anymore.
No.
That's a thing of the past. Let's go to Paulie in White Plains. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, it's Paulie Notes over here. But listen, great about the Mets. I want to feed off the Mets thing. The problem that they're going to have is they're going to let the new president fire Rojas instead of Cohen showing some Gallon and setting the tone like, we don't do the job right, you're not going to have a job. So the Cohen should fire Rojas if they're going to fire him, obviously.
Oh, he's going to be fired,
comes
there
with
yes.
The new slate. Yeah, but Cohen's got to do it. Just
Why?
To put guys on edge. Like, we don't do our job here, you're gone. You know what I mean? Like, sort of like
yeah,
a George
Paul,
thing.
And, well, Paul, here's the other thing, though, Paul. Yep. What Cohen has to do, and it's not easy because a lot of owners buy teams and they want to have, you know, friendly relationships with the players. That has to stop. He cannot. It cannot be where we hire whoever it ends up being.
Definitely.
And the players feel like they have a direct line to the owner. Because that never works.
Awful. Totally agree. But now going to that, it sets the tone, though. Let him do the firing, that he's not all, you know, kissy-kiss to the players. And it sets the tone that everybody has to do their job. Or the owner's going to call down, it should be like that instead of directly, he's going to call down to the GM and to the manager and be like, you know, we got to get things together, there's going to be head rolling. Just like George used to do. You got to put pressure on these athletes. Just like little kids now. No second place trophy. I'm tired of this stuff.
You know, you don't need to say like George used to do, and thank you for the call. George Steinbrenner, during the heart of his tenure with the Yankees, did a lot of great things, also was a disaster in a lot of ways. And in fact, the Yankees didn't get good until George was suspended. So this idea that you're nostalgic for the way George used to do it, don't be so sure about that. I don't necessarily think
I understand
that's
what he's
exactly
saying, though.
The way to go.
Yeah, but I understand what he's saying, because I think, well, first of all, I mean, just the philosophy. I mean, as a Yankees fan, I mean, you can't argue that George's philosophy of you have to spend money to make money. Like, I'm going to dump as much money into the products as I can, because if we win, like, people are going to show up and I'll make my money back. Like, I love that. That's exactly what
you
want.
Well, that I think you'll get from Steve Cohen.
I do too. But I think Steve Cohen's in that honeymoon phase where he's like all about being buddy-buddy with the players. And I don't think that works. I mean, the reason why Lou Lamoriello works so well is, yeah, he loves his players and everything else. But there's legitimate fear of Lou. Like, if you don't do what you're told to do, there'll be ramifications.
And you know what?
And I don't think that exists right now with the Mets.
Well, it's a shame.
Do you really think it exists with the Mets? After all, everything that's happened this season,
No.
You think it exists?
No. No. I think that it's been a disaster year one of Steve Cohen.
It's been
a
joke, Dave.
I can't even believe that this has happened. Like
go
Rick,
through the list of things that have happened.
Wait, you get
Go through the list.
The one GM is just a creep.
Your coach was a creep. The coach that Sandy Alderson hired was a creep.
The GM is a creep, right? Then the next GM gets a DUI. The manager stunk. The team's been a disaster.
The way they handled the Grom, Sandy's too much involved. The owner can't help himself, and he can't stop tweeting.
I mean, it's really stuff.
The players booing the fans.
Yeah, it's amazing. Someone should tell Steve Cohen, you got to stop. Like, I know you think it's funny. I know you think it's cute. It's not. People love this team. Right or wrong, make sense or not, fans love this team. And by you going to Twitter and putting out these weird messages and these, you know, calm yourself down, fans, it makes people angry with you.
Yeah, I don't know why in the midst of one of the more disappointing seasons I can remember as a Mets fan, you want to troll your fan base. That makes no sense to me at all.
And you're giving the finger to the players? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, to the fans? You got to be kidding me.
You boo the fans. I got Syndergaard telling the media, yeah, I'm not going to throw sliders. So
and
Luis,
the coach has no, the manager
that?
Has no idea about that.
I have no idea. I got no idea.
Nope.
I got Sandy on the field looking for Javi Baez's earring.
That was really... Speaking of that, did you hear what happened to Aaron Jones the other day?
I did.
What a story. Huh?
Hey, shout out to the trainer that spent all that time on the field.
All night long, middle of the night. So I guess he had a necklace, right, that had his dad's ashes in it?
Yep.
And he lost it. And they couldn't find it. And the trainer stayed out literally on Lambeau Field all night long finding that thing.
I think he was out to 1:45 looking for it.
That's a story.
And he found it.
We need more of that.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? Of course we do. You're supposed to be the guy. You're supposed to bring good segments to the show. That was your job.
All right. You know what? I'm going to take that on.
That's a heartwarming segment.
That's a heartwarming story. How often would you like them? Two a week?
No, just organic.
Or just or get, if it happens, just bring it to the table.
If it happens, bring it to the table.
I'm taking this on as my own. I will give you at least two a week. I'm not going to guarantee anything. I'm just going to say two a week, maybe more, just good, heartwarming stories. Okay?
Yeah, and I also want you in your free time. Let's get this man camp. I love the idea, by the way.
I love it.
From top to bottom, though. I want everything. Everything.
I want someone to teach me about cars, carpentry,
cars for sure,
toilets, cooking, all that.
We need automotive for sure.
Yep.
There's
got to be a computer day.
Computer day.
Yep.
Relationship day.
Yep.
Cooking day.
Checkbook stuff. How to handle money, that kind of stuff.
Technology day.
Absolutely.
A technology day.
Absolutely. 100%.
I can't be asking Milo to do things for me on my iPad. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
Sherry, she was in a, and she's good with this stuff, but she somehow had a pinned group text on her phone. You know, I don't even know what that is, right?
It just stays there, I guess. I have no idea how to do that either.
But I guess it's always the top text, right? And she's like, what is this? And Ben's like, give me your phone. 30 seconds. Da-da-da-da. All right, there you go, Mom. Yeah. The kids know more than we do.
Dude, I told you the other day, Milo's 6 years old. I come downstairs, and he's sitting on the couch watching one of his shows, and he's got a waffle on his... He's eating a waffle. I said, what are you doing? He's like, oh, you guys... I just figured I'd come down and make myself breakfast.
That's great, though.
Well, no, it's not. I don't want him using the toaster at 6 years old.
I guess that's valid. But what's he going to do with a toaster?
I don't know. Set something on fire, maybe? Burn himself?
I don't know.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. If he ever singles you up, if he's ever stupid enough, I'm going to be the first one.
All right, DPetro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. I have a mosquito bite right on the top of my foot.
How many celebrities itchy. Right now are singing this song about Sherry right now?
Oh, if she ever became available?
If he ever singles you up.
Yeah, I think all of them. You don't need the sexy music.
Of course you do.
Why?
Well, because that's what you're thinking about.
You stay away from my wife. Why would I ever single her up? You think I would even think about leaving this woman?
I mean, she does everything.
Everything. I forgot we had a baby.
Yeah. You don't even remember you had a baby.
Well, because that was a big moment of a Mets game. Luis Castillo just dropped that pop-up. But I had been to the doctor yesterday, right? Doctor gave us a prescription. Not a prescription, I guess a medicine that he had to start taking. So we had a photo of like the actual bottle on the phone, and I just forwarded to her. I said, do me a favor, can you order this for us, please? And then she does.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I tried to incite her. I did. Hour and a half spent trying to
Why
incite
would you
wife.
Do that? You claim to be my best friend, and then you try to incite my wife when I went missing, and she wouldn't take your bait.
No. It's like trying to catch a tarpon. She just didn't want to. She
wasn't
hungry.
Gonna get involved with your nonsense even whatsoever. I mean, you think me leaving for a couple of drives of preseason football is the worst thing I've done? Come on.
Played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
Stop it.
That was like no big deal. She's like, this is nothing.
Yeah. That doesn't even faze her at this point.
Part of the problem. I mean,
her thing is don't traumatize the dogs. That's her thing. Not don't get excited during the football game. Don't traumatize anyone. Don't make anyone have to have dinner upstairs. Like, that's what she's looking for. I've set the bar very low.
Yeah, you really have. I don't think the bar is on the floor.
Yeah, you just walk right over it.
You just step right
over
it.
Excuse me. Like, an older woman can walk right over the bar. Have you heard of the mole people?
Yes.
Right over it. All guests on DePietro and Rothenberg appear via the Goodyear hotline. Now, odds are you're hiring to free up time, not lose more. With Indeed, you get the platform that delivers four times more hires than all other sites combined. That's according to Talent Nest. Post a job and say you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. So, I know you saw it. Rating the biggest surprises. This is an ESPN.com article. The biggest surprises of all 32 teams, which will continue and which are a mirage. Okay? The New York Giants, biggest surprise. Defense is allowing 414 yards per game and almost 29 points per game. What do you think? Mirage or it's going to continue?
For your sake, it has to be a mirage.
Jordan Renan says, mirage. The Giants were 12th in total defense, 9th in points allowed. If anything, they're more talented this year after adding Aziz Ojulari and Adoree Jackson while getting back Lorenzo Carter. Maybe they maxed out last year, but the law of averages says Patrick Graham's unit will be a quality group when all is said and done. So there's a little
I don't know how you say that with any confidence. Yeah, but I don't know how you would say that with any confidence.
I don't.
I mean, you didn't go up against great quarterbacks.
You went up against, well, first of all, Taylor Heinicke is probably lower third of the league. And on a good day.
Career start.
Yeah, and on a good day, Teddy Bridgewater is mediocre.
He didn't look mediocre in week one, I can promise you that.
He looked great.
He looked really good in
week one. But in week two, he wasn't great.
No, which again, makes it hard. I would have a hard time with any confidence saying that this is going to be a mirage. The defense all of a sudden is just going to flip a switch here and
well,
be good.
I'll tell you what, if the defense has a bad season, I mean, you're looking at 4 wins.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why you won 6 last year was your defense.
Your defense
was
terrific.
Was horrendous.
Your defense was terrific, and you beat the teams that you should have beaten, right? Like, you swept Washington. That already can't happen this year. You beat Dallas. Didn't the Giants beat like all these teams that didn't have their starting quarterbacks? They beat Cincinnati, didn't have their starting quarterback. They beat Washington twice. They beat Dallas, didn't have their starting quarterback. Right? You had the Seattle win, which was a great victory. Other than that, these you beat just a journeyman quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, I mean, then the first 2 weeks of the season, you lost to very average quarterbacks.
Very average. In fact, I wouldn't even say average.
Hope, though. But Dave, that was the only hope for your team here moving forward, was that with the additions, I mean, you mentioned... And give Ojulari credit. He's put some pressure on the quarterback. He's got a couple sacks. So that's a positive thing as from a rookie. And you added Adoree Jackson. Your secondary hasn't been any good. I mean, the hope for your team was, you know, with Saquon coming back, Kenny Galladay, Daniel Jones takes that next step. Offense can't be worse. It'll be better. And your defense should build off of last season. If that's not the case, if your defense doesn't build off last season and it actually gets worse, yeah, you're screwed.
4 wins. Really, 4 wins. Now, the Jets, biggest surprise, the Jets' young cornerbacks are holding up. Continues or mirage?
You'd probably say mirage.
Yeah, mirage. Rich Cimini says, the Jets have allowed only 232 receiving yards to wide receivers, good for third in the NFL per ESPN stats and information. Bryce Hall, Brandon Echols, Michael Carter, the second. Javelin, is that his name?
Guidry?
Yeah. Javelin?
What's wrong with Javelin?
I mean, it's an odd name, no?
Every time I hear Javelin, the first thing I think of is Revenge of the Nerds.
with what's his face? Lamar Luttrell?
Yes. He's got the floppy Javelin.
Yeah, we made a ergonomically, you know. I love that movie, by the way.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
Such a good movie. Anyway, Javelin, Guidry, they deserve credit for that. But take a closer look. They have yet to face a top-tier quarterback, so they haven't really been tested. Still, Coach Robert Saleh remains confident, saying they're going to get tested and they're going to continue to win.
Listen, I don't know if it's going to last or not, but I will say there hasn't been much to get excited about with the New York Jets.
No.
The fact that the defense has been okay. It's been
competent.
Good.
Yeah, competent, I think.
It's been good. I mean, compared to what the offense looks like, the defense has been pretty good. So, I mean, that's, again, I mean, the offense doesn't do you any favors. I mean, you're talking about 4 picks, turnovers on downs. I mean, you're putting your defense in tough spots. Because you don't really know, right? Like, going into a season with a rookie head coach, you don't have, like, I know that Robert Saleh was a really good defensive coordinator. And even with, I mean, the injuries that San Francisco had last year, and they were ravaged by injuries. Like, they found a way. Like, Robert Saleh found a way to coach that defense up. And put a good defense on the field.
Yep. You so just hope wonder, is the offense going to be so bad and struggle so much that it's going to put so much on the defense?
It probably will. I mean, especially early in the season, it probably will.
That at some point they just break.
But it makes me feel good that, I mean, that's his expertise. That's his side of the ball. And so far through the first 2 weeks, it's been a pleasant surprise.
So far, so good with Saleh and the defense. I agree.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ says to me during the break, he says, what is the most manly thing you can do? Rick, I got to be honest, it's not a lot. There's really...
It has to be, and I stand by this, it would have to be something in the bedroom.
Very manly in the bedroom. And also, I can barbecue. I'll show you. Want to see it? I can work the grill very well.
Let me be the judge of that. I mean, that's...
I'm telling you.
You say that, but I don't. I mean,
I'm being sincere with you when I tell you I don't do very much well. Why would you not believe that I can barbecue well?
Well, because I have a hard time believing. I mean, you're heating your kid up. Meatballs, raisin toast, and applesauce.
Well, I didn't heat the raisin toast. That just was room temperature toast. Well, so really it was raisin bread.
You just gave him raisin bread, no toast?
Well, that's what he wanted.
Just straight raisin bread.
Yeah. Right out of the bag, onto the plate, boom.
Oh, my God.
That's what he wanted.
It's almost child abuse.
How is it? Beautiful meatballs. And then I, see, because I'm this kind of dad, like I made a little smiley face with the ketchup on the side. You know, make it cute.
I mean, the kid is traumatized. The fact that that's what he thinks he likes is meatballs just
he's not a good eater.
Bag,
that's not because
bread.
Of me. He eats like eight things. He eats pasta with a little butter. He eats grilled cheese. He eats mac and cheese. He eats a cheese sandwich. He eats meatballs, chicken fingers. That's it. He doesn't eat a lot.
Just daring his face off.
He does not eat a lot.
Well, it doesn't sound like he has many options.
He can options. We've tried a million things. Get him sushi.
All right, so here's the thing. What's the specialty on the grill? I mean, if you're such a grill master, what's the specialty on the grill?
Oh, I can make a beautiful steak on the grill. A burger, nice and medium rare. I'm very talented.
How many times do you flip the steak? All right, here's the true test. How many times do you flip the steak?
I will flip it four times.
No.
Yeah, four.
You flip the steak one time.
No.
Yes.
Four flips.
No, you don't do four flips with the steak.
Yeah, because you don't want it to get burned on the outside. So you do four flips.
Well, that's because you're supposed to have a direct heat side of the grill and a indirect side for the grill.
Listen, don't judge my grilling.
I'm just letting you know.
I barbecue like a master.
You want to call yourself a master? Do you know the trick to tell whether the steak is done?
You cut into it a little bit.
No, you don't. You never cut into the steak.
Of course you do.
No.
You want to see what color it is in the middle.
Oh, my God.
Cut right into it. See what it looks like.
You never cut right into it. You cook it. You touch it. You press it.
Oh, yeah, touching it. That's a great idea. Put your fingers on a burning hot steak.
No, once you take it off the get, you test it when you touch your finger, and then you can tell whether it's medium, rare, medium, whatever it is.
So you're telling me you take a finger, you put it on the steak, and you can tell whether it's medium, rare or not?
Yes.
Come on, stop.
I'm telling you right now, it's a trick you do with your hand.
What are you, the steak whisperer? It does
I'm
not work.
I'm just letting you know.
All right.
You make a fist.
Then you'll be teaching barbecuing at man camp.
All right, look. See my fist on the Zoom?
Yeah. Yep.
You make a fist,
mm-hmm.
and you touch it between your thumb and your pointer finger. You feel that?
Yeah. What do you mean, do I feel it? I don't feel it.
Okay, now you close your fist a little bit, and the tighter that gets, right as you're making a little bit of pressure, and you feel that, you touch the steak, that's close to a medium.
All right. Well, listen, it's a good little trick
test.
There. I appreciate that. Let's go to Chris in Long Beach.
And then you got to let the steak rest. You can't just cut into it.
Cut into it to see what color
it
is in the middle. Yes, that's what you do. Chris in Long Beach. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. Big fan. Love the show.
Thank you.
I was just laughing about this, the man camp idea. It sounds like you're describing how to be a grown-up, not how to be a man.
Dave needs help.
Primavera and balance your checkbook?
He doesn't even know. He's never even seen his checkbook, Chris.
No, that's not true. I used to keep a checkbook when I was a single guy, and I'd like, but here's the thing, Chris. Quicken, and we could teach people Quicken. That's something new. That's a great little commodity to be able to use.
Again, it's the idea of construction and how to fix something, you're on track. But then you lost me with making pasta primavera and balancing your checkbook and learning how to use your cell phone. That's just being a grown-up, guys.
No, and see, I don't agree.
You only flip a steak once.
Thank you, Chris. And you never cut into a steak. You got to let that thing rest.
You never cut into a
never,
steak. I'm
never,
cutting in. I want to see
you
the color of the steak.
When it's done.
I ain't eating in your house.
Have
now.
A good one, guys.
There's
Thanks.
No chance. You're ruining the steak.
Wouldn't ruin the steak. You'd
let all the juices fly out of it. The juices have to redisperse.
Redisperse. You're talking crazy talk. Let's go to Muhammad.
I'm not talking crazy
Muhammad.
Talk.
Crazy talk is what you're doing. Muhammad, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Dave, I just wanted to say this one thing. I find it weird you call yourself a grill master and don't know how to press meat to check its temperature.
What, this is a thing?
It's because the steak doesn't have an anus anymore. That's the only way he knows how to check temperature.
My name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child. So, Muhammad, you press into your meat? Is that what you're saying? That's the way you do it, isn't it, Rick? You just press right into the meat?
No, you touch the meat. You don't fondle the meat. You don't stroke the meat. You just touch it.
I am thermometer boy right now. Doesn't make much sense. you cut into the side a little bit. See what it looks like in the middle. Boom.
Where's the ass end of this T-bone? I got to check its temperature.
let's go to now. This is what I'm comfortable discussing. Frank in West Orange. Frank, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Frank,
hello. A.
Frank,
oh, no.
Put him back on hold. This is a good call. Put him back on hold.
It's
Frank,
a good call. He wasn't there.
Well, he's been waiting.
Well, okay. So if you're on hold for a big company and then they finally pick up the call, do you not talk?
No, I put it on speakerphone just so I don't miss it.
Exactly. And Frank should have done the same.
This is my favorite. How about this? I get a letter from, have you ever got one of these letters from the IRS?
Like, I don't know.
So I got this letter where I have to call the IRS, like some identity thing or whatever it is, just to confirm your identity. So I call and I'm like, well, whatever it takes. I don't care what the hold time is. Every single time you call, it's like, because of the amount of calls, we're unable to take your call at this time. Please try again tomorrow.
They don't even want your call. There's not even a hold option there, huh?
There's not even an option to wait.
Yeah.
They just kick you right off.
How about when you call a place and they're like, your hold time is approximately 109 minutes. Oh. Like, oh, for God's sakes.
Dude, that's like when we used to have to drive to work in the morning. It was the rush hour. I'd get over the bridge and the sign would be like 88 minutes to get into the city.
Yeah, you want to just drive right off the road. By the way, I'm an elite driver.
I'm an excellent driver.
I would agree with that.
And I'm not even kidding. It's the one thing that I'm way better at than my wife. Like, she's a terrible driver. I'm a great driver.
I can't stand when my wife drives.
My wife is first of all, we'll be 4 miles before the exit. When do I get off? When do I have to get into the right lane? I'm like, would you be quiet,
relax.
Please?
Relax.
I will let you know within a mile of when you have to get into that right lane.
My wife looks like she took a full body blue chew when she drives.
She's just standing.
She's
up
like
straight.
Stiff as a board.
She's got. There's no way she doesn't have two hands on the wheel
every single time.
Every time. Let's go quickly to Ben in New Hyde Park, and then we'll do a little observations and DHIF. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Huge fan. Listen, love the man camp idea. I got a company called Mobile Man Cave. We would love to sponsor it. I got to figure out how to do that.
Oh, hang on.
Put him on hold.
You have a company called Mobile Man Cave?
Yes, we do. It's ultimate tailgating. We do party and events. We come up with TVs and everything. We show up. We do tailgates everywhere. It's great.
You don't set up, you don't have do actual man caves where you set someone's house up, do you?
No. We have it all in a trailer. So we pull up to your house and you come out and hang out all on the trailer in the man cave.
That's phenomenal.
I like that.
We would love to get you to sponsor Man Camp. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, we got to get
also,
his info once.
I just got engaged. My fiance is a huge Islander fan. Rick, come on, man. I need you to officiate the wedding. What do I got to do?
Oh, my goodness. Now the pressure's on. See, this is Dave. This is what happens.
Do it. I mean, he's so good.
I can imagine.
Ben, yeah, do me a favor.
My wife's wedding.
Ben, give RJ your information, and we'll see if we can make it work.
Oh, let's go. Dave, you're coming, too. You can MC it.
I'll MC it. And welcome, everybody, to Ben and Stephanie's wedding. Let's give them a warm welcome here.
Don't do it like that.
That's
no. Say Monica. I'll be in trouble. Say Monica.
All right, I'll say Monica. Whatever name you want, Ben, I will say. Listen, Santi, don't hang up on him. Let's put him on hold. We'll get his information, and we'll let him sponsor Man Camp. Very
this
nice.
Man Camp thing, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, it's going to take off. It is going to. And we can then franchise them around the country. We could be teaching people how to. We can have men teach men how to be men.
Yeah, but
that's
just think
we'll
about
do.
This, too. I mean, think about the possibilities of this, too, right? I mean, especially guys at home. You got kids. And, I mean, hey, honey, I'm going to go on vacation with my buddies. She's like, no, you're not going on vacation with your buddies. You're going to stay with me and take care of the kids. Uh-uh. This is man camp. When I come home, I'll be able to fix things around the house.
She would want you to go.
If I said, Cher,
for the weekend, I'm going to go to Vegas. She'd be like, over my dead body, you're going to Vegas. If I said, Cher, I'm going to man camp on Long Island, she'd be like, well, what is that? And I explain what it is. She'd drive me there. Poorly, but drive me there.
She would buy it for you as a gift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. G- gift certificates to Man Camp. Love it. All right, let's go. 1-800-919-3776. That being said, it is time for Knobservation.
If you say something like this...
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this...
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Ben's email, his phone number, we got it all.
Great.
It's all happening.
I'm surprised Santa didn't hang right up on that.
How good is that for our tailgates, though? Yeah, by the way, not only sponsored Man Camp... I mean, one of the best times we had was that Mets tailgate. Now, all of a sudden, we got it. Ben shows up with the trailer with the TVs and everything else for the tailgate.
Oh, how good would that be?
And by the way, I was never going to hang up on him. He was actually useful.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Actually, actually useful.
Oh, my.
Wow.
All righty. So, how about this? Knobservations has a sponsor brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis
Look
Care.
At us. Yeah, what is happening here?
It's all happening. All
it's
right.
Like Big Boy Radio.
See, that's actually a worse shot than what Ray did. You just got to understand it. So, Aaron Rodgers, he kind of strikes me as the kind of guy that you knew in high school that talks about how much they hate drama, but they love it. They love the drama. Here was Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show talking about teammates that claim they know him but really don't know him very well at all.
It's absolute horseshit to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits. People that have not been around me, they're not in my life. I don't have communication with them or not in the locker room. It's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this, and it's the same type of people. On the flip side of that, I think in this day and age of media, the things that get the most, it's all about clicks, right, and hits and views, and 1 second counts as a view. So the actually opinions that are garnering the most attention are the most outlandish. So it's not even overreaction Monday or Tuesday anymore. It's overreaction every time a microphone's in your face, every time you have a single shot in the camera and you get to talk to camera. I don't think I need to pin myself on people who aren't worth spending time on, but I'm always going to give a reminder that listen to the source.
God, he makes it so difficult to want him to succeed, doesn't he?
It's tough. I mean, don't forget, too, I mean, one of the guys he's talking about was one of his former teammates.
JerMichael Finley.
But Finley went after him. I don't even blame him for being annoyed at Finley.
Okay, you're annoyed, but then you're trying to discredit the source. He was your teammate.
Right.
Like, I don't know why he decides
some
now he wants to come out and,
yes.
Yeah, and say negative things about you, but, I mean, he's had firsthand experience with you.
Right.
But he's not wrong.
You know what the thing that frustrates me about Aaron Rodgers, and watching him play is a thing of beauty, he's always the victim. It's always
Sounds
somebody
familiar.
That has wronged him.
he's too much like you. That's why you don't like him.
What does that mean? I'm not always the victim.
You're always the victim.
Oh, stop
I've never seen a bigger man baby slash victim in my life.
That's why I need the Man Camp.
That's right. And we have his info.
Toughing you up.
Doc Rivers kind of had a weird day yesterday. So I want to start you back at the end of the NBA playoffs. Doc Rivers, you remember this, asked after the Game 7 elimination to the Hawks about Ben Simmons, whether or not he could be the point guard on a Sixers title team.
Doc, you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, so Doc, yesterday was on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, which follows us at 8 a.m., and they asked him about that statement, and here's what he said.
That's not what I said, actually. This is when narratives, and this is what makes our jobs hard. I actually said when the guy asked, guys, I'm not answering that stuff right now. I don't even know how to answer that.
Oh.
So what I was talking about was not answering the question.
Wow.
It had nothing to do with Ben. Yeah, but I said, you know, it's funny, the next day, because my daughter, actually, Callie, called me and said, hey, you better clean that up. I know exactly what you were saying, but they're going on with a different narrative. So the next day, I did an impromptu press conference and said it again. I said, guys, for whoever's running this narrative, you know that's not what I was saying. Ben knows that. Rich Paul knows that. But, you know, it's amazing how it gets started and it just takes a life of its own.
I got to tell you, I don't think Ben knows that. Ben wants out.
I mean, what is he doing here, though? Why not just own it? Say, you know what? I was so heated in the moment that I said something I probably shouldn't have said. Or, you know what? I believe it. But we're going to blame the media for misquote. We hear you say exactly what you're denying that you said.
But he's doing exactly what he was criticizing is exactly what he's doing right now. I mean, he's creating the narrative that the Sixers want Ben back. and it's going to be Ben that chooses to force his way out.
That's a good point, because real quick, he did go on to say this with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, too, when asked, can Ben be the point guard of a Sixers title team?
Yeah, he can all day. All day. He just does so many things, man, that, you know, it's funny. You guys heard me all year fighting for the kid.
Yeah, sounded like it. And I like Doc. I do. It was a weird day yesterday.
Quick little piece of trivia here. His real first name is?
I've heard Glenn. Is Glenn true?
Glenn would be correct.
Santiago knew. I did not.
That's right. And he went to school where?
Missouri.
Marquette. Marquette.
Oh, all right.
All right. Missouri.
All right. So if you guys were watching on Monday night the Manning Megacast, Peyton and Eli, Gronk was a guest, and they got wind that Cam Brate, another Bucks tight end, said that Gronk doesn't watch film. So Gronk was asked about that.
He goes, do you ever watch film? And I said, no, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. So I don't know how to answer that. I don't watch film, but I do watch film when the team is showing it. So, and every once in a while, I watch games like right now and study them.
So he watches games. And then his head coach was at the podium yesterday, jokingly said, I'm going to have to take away his veteran days off because he doesn't watch film.
Well, he actually came back and said he watches so much film that his girlfriend throws stuff
bleep
at him.
At him.
Yeah, bleep at him.
He did say that.
Can I add a knob quick, RJ? How many more knobs do you have?
I had one more, but go ahead.
All right, did you see, Dave, so they have a Twitter account that scores umpires?
Yes, I follow that.
Okay, did you see Angel Hernandez's grade?
No.
From Tuesday night?
No, what did he get?
He called 158 of 182 taken pitches correctly. So he missed 27.
Wow.
27 calls. The worst being a pitch that missed by 5 inches.
Five? That's a big margin.
Yes.
Now, here's I have a question about the math, though. 158 of 82 should not be 27.
What do you mean?
Well, you said he called 158 of 182 correctly, and then he said he missed 27.
That'd be 24.
Well, that's 24. No, so one metric was 27, one metric was 24.
Oh, okay.
All right. The one I'm going with is 27.
All right. I just want to be accurate.
I hate
math.
2 days
in a row. Math this early in the morning, not my strong suit.
While you're talking about referees, I take you to Ohio quickly. The high school football scene, there's a guy named Keith Dalton. He's an official. He made a call that one of the assistants on Grove City, who's one of the teams playing, did not like. Coach goes onto the field, berates the official, unsportsmanlike. Bang, penalty. Okay, I think we're done. No, we're not. After the game, they lose. Officiating crew inside the locker room getting ready to leave. Door locked from the outside, and a vending machine is put in the door path.
Oh, no.
So Keith Dalton said we had to push the door open, three of us, to get the door wedged out so we could get out. We have now filed charges against Grove City.
He tried to lock them in and murder them.
I don't know about the second part, but the first part he was successful at least temporarily.
He tried to lock them in the room.
Tried to lock them in and murder
Matt
them.
Hughes can't leave.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, great movie. Great movie.
Right?
Alrighty. Right?
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
A man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Why were you naked? We'll never know. Alrighty, so this one, this was actually found by Ray. I want to give him credit. Answers a question that we talked about a couple of months ago. So a woman suspected of driving under the influence, taken into custody, apparently after her Tesla was in self-driving mode, or autopilot mode, as they call it. The Tesla hit a roadside wall on the freeway, alerting patrol officers that, you know, something's wrong here. So they pull up on the vehicle, and they try to pull the Tesla over, to which they were unsuccessful. I don't know how she didn't wake up, but, you know, alcohol. So driver's unconscious. They finally get the car stopped, and they speak to 31-year-old Carla Villanueva, who was sleeping. They arrest her on suspicion of DUI. That all is to say, Dave, a reinforcement in case you forgot. It is illegal to drink and drive. It is also illegal to drink and self-drive. So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
Did it? It sounds like Florida.
I don't know. Tesla.
I'm going to say, yeah.
It's a good story, too, RJ, because you answered the question. You can't just let the car drive itself.
No.
You have a couple of cocktails and then just let the car drive itself.
I'm going to say not Florida.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, not Florida.
You can't ask Santa.
No,
story.
That's well done by both of you. That happened in California. California. And that does it for... and that does it for an Observations in DHIF brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care community offices are open and can help you with all your health insurance needs. Visit FideliCare.org/offices to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.